United States Postal Service is an independent agency of the United States federal government and responsible for providing postal service in the United States. It is one of the few government agencies explicitly authorized by the United States Constitution. The United States Postal Service traces its roots to 1775 during the Second Continental Congress, where Benjamin Franklin was appointed the first Postmaster General. His portrait would eventually be featured on numerous postage stamps. The cabinet-level post office department was created in 1792 from Franklin's operation and transformed into its current form in 1971 under the Postal Reorganization Act. In 2013, the United States Postal Service delivered 65.8 billion first-class pieces of mail. When you think about all the mail that arrives in your mailbox daily, each piece has been sent. Each came from someone. Each piece of mail was given a specific destination and a specific message. In this week's study, we read about some of the last instructions of Jesus and his words that gave instructions about going and delivering a message. His followers are challenged to be letters sent with a message to go and tell. Please stand with me, ladies, in honor of God's word as we read the last passage in our study of the Gospel of Mark. Listen for the go and tell mandate that Jesus gives to his followers. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that we worship a risen Savior. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for that sacrifice that you made on our behalf. Thank you for becoming sin on our behalf. Jesus, we're so grateful that you're no longer on that cross. We're so grateful that you're no longer in that tomb. We celebrate, we rejoice, we clap our hands and sing hallelujah that you are a risen Savior, that you have power over sin and death. And because of you, we have hope for eternity later, and we have peace and joy in our lives now. Jesus, as we study your final words to the disciples and by extension to us this morning, I pray that we would have our hearts stirred up to accept our assignment, to have that same fervency, that same desire to go and tell, that we would be obedient just as the disciples were, that, Lord, is that baton of truth has been passed from each generation of believers all the way down from the first century down now to the 21st century, that on our watch, we too would be found faithful to go and tell and pass that truth on to the next generation. Stir up our hearts today, Holy Spirit. Give us an assignment. Let us leave here committed and determined to be your woman, to be your messenger, to be that mail, that letter that goes forth to carry that news to a world that so desperately needs to know it. In the power of the Holy Spirit, in the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Ladies, you may be seated. Mark 16:15 says, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Jesus is speaking here to his disciples when he says this. But there are also other passages where we read his last words that are captured and where he gives the same instructions. And we've got to remember, he's not only speaking to the disciples then, but we today are also his followers. So these words are also for us. The post-resurrection comments of Jesus are captured to Mary Magdalene in John 20:17, where he says, "Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Jesus said, "Go and tell." He had a message for Mary to deliver, and she was faithful to deliver that message. And then to the disciples, he said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you," in John 20:21. He told the disciples, "I've got a message. I want you to go. I want you to tell. I'm sending you." And of course, probably the most familiar to those in the body of Christ, maybe the passage that many of us memorize as little children, is the Great Commission found in Matthew 28:19-20. More of the last words of Jesus after his resurrection, where he said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Some of you probably could sing that. I have a little tune that goes around in my head, a little jingle I learned with my kids at VBS. And it finishes, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So again, the essence of the message, the essence of the commandment that Jesus has for us is to go and tell. These passages are the last words of Jesus. You know, the importance of last words is critical. You think about those key moments of last words, the last words that a mother says to a daughter before the wedding, the last words when you leave your child and drive away and leave them at college, words that are offered on a deathbed, or the last words that you had when you moved away to a faraway place and left a friend behind. Those last words carry great weight, and they carry great meaning. And those are the words that are remembered. And so certainly, ladies, all the words of Jesus are important. We studied many of those as we've journeyed through the Gospel of Mark this year. But today we're going to examine very closely those words that were shared last, the specific instructions given to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. And so because these are some of Jesus' last words, I think they carry a lot of weight. Matthew 28, the Great Commission says, "Therefore go." And we see the word "go," and immediately many of us, the Marthas in the room, are just looking for a committee to join or a cause to support, you know, cause to promote. Many of us are Marthas, and we're looking for a task to do, something tangible, something we can put on our list and then check it off that we've done it. And we women sometimes have a great deal of satisfaction by all that doing and crossing off. And if you're like me, if you found that you did something that wasn't on your list, sometimes you just write it on there just for the sheer pleasure of crossing it off, you know? Yes, yes. But I want us to consider these words from Andy Crouch. This is in his book, Playing God. "These days I do not often meet Christians so passionate about evangelism that they question the need for doing justice. I'm much more likely to meet Christians so passionate about justice that they question the need for evangelism." And, of course, under the word justice comes all those social good things that we do. You know, ladies, the secular world takes pleasure in meeting needs and doing good. Those acts of kindness become an end in themselves. But for the woman of God, acts of kindness are just the means to open the door, to soften hearts and earn the right to fulfill the command to go and tell. Our ultimate aim should always be to share the good news of Jesus, to fulfill his command to go and tell. In 1967, a missionary named Doug Nichols was doing missions work in India when he contracted tuberculosis and was committed to a sanitarium for several months. In the tuberculosis sanitarium, Doug found himself in a lonely, confusing, and troubled place. He did not know the language of the other patients, but he wanted to share the good news of Jesus with him. That's why he was in India. All Doug had in the sanitarium were a few gospel tracts in their language, Parsi. He tried to pass them out, but nobody wanted them. Then one night, Doug woke up at 2 a.m., coughing so violently that he could not catch his breath. During this coughing fit, Doug noticed a little, old, emaciated man across the aisle, trying to get out of bed. He was so weak, he couldn't stand up. He began to whimper, and he tried again, but to no avail. In the morning, Doug realized that the man had been trying to get up to use the bathroom. The stench in the ward was terrible. The other patients were angry at the old man for not being able to contain himself, and the nurse who had to clean up the mess slapped the man when she was finished. The next night again, Doug saw the old man trying to get out of bed, but this time, Doug got out of bed. He picked up the old man and carried him to the toilet, which was just a hole in the floor, and then brought him back to his bed. The old man kissed Doug on the cheek and promptly went to sleep. Early the next morning, Doug awoke to a steaming cup of tea beside his bed. Another patient had kindly made it for him. The patient motioned that he wanted one of those gospel tracts. The next 2 days, one after another patient asked for one of those tracts. And over the next few days, Doug reported, several communicated with me that they had trusted Christ as Savior as a result of reading the good news in those tracts. Doug Phillips lived out the call to go and tell in a TB sanitarium. His act of goodness opened the door for sharing the good news. So as we again look at the Great Commission passage, we note that it begins with the word therefore. Therefore go. So when we see therefore, many of us have been taught that when we see the word therefore, we are to ask, what is it therefore? There you go. So we're going to back up just a little bit. We're going to see what comes just before the Great Commission. Because therefore can mean all sorts of different things. If somebody says to you, therefore, there's $10,000 in your account. Well, what comes before? What if they said, well, I know your account did have $100,000, but this investment you made went sour, so therefore you've only got $10,000. Mm-hmm. Or the message could be, Better Homes and Garden loved your recipe, so therefore you have $10,000 check waiting for you. So, you know, we don't know what that news is about. So we're going to look back and see what comes before the therefore. So there's an important truth here, I think, that may well change not only what we do or where we go, but perhaps even more importantly, our attitude and our motivation for how and why we do it. So let's look back to verse 16 in Matthew 28. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Obedience is important. We see the disciples here doing and placing themselves in the place where Jesus told them to go. So every mother in this room values obedience. When it comes to rearing our children, we know how important it is to obey. The McFarland kids were taught early that partial obedience is disobedience. You wheel the trash can halfway down the driveway, you haven't obeyed me. And also, delayed obedience is disobedience. Saying I'll get to it tomorrow doesn't get the trash taken out today. So if we as earthly parents expect the trash to be taken out when and all the way to the end of the driveway, then surely, ladies, our Heavenly Father has a high standard for timeliness and complete obedience. So I think we can conclude that the woman of God is obedient. And isn't that our desire, really? If we want to please our Lord and we want to follow Him, we want to walk in obedience. Jesus told the disciples to go to the mountain where He told them to be. And when they went, here's what their reward is. Matthew 28:17a says, they saw Him. I believe that there's a timeless truth that says obedience brings blessing. I believe that when we obey Jesus, there's always a blessing that comes from that. Maybe not one we would have anticipated or thought about, or maybe not even one we would have counted a blessing at the moment. But looking back and seeing all the pieces of the puzzle come together, there's always blessing, I believe, that comes. Maybe a here and now blessing, or maybe a future blessing in eternity. But when we obey God, He blesses us. And when the disciples went where they were told to go, they were rewarded because their blessing was they saw Him. So I'm convinced that as women of God, we too can go to the mountain every single day. That mountain is probably not a physical mountain, but it's a spiritual one. So your mountain might be your kitchen table. It might be a rocking chair in the corner of your living room. It might be your front porch swing. But that place that you go to meet Jesus in His Word, I believe, is your mountain. And as we wrap up our study for the year, I want to encourage every single one of you to go to the mountain every single day. Pick one of the other Gospels to read through. Go back to the Old Testament. Read through the Psalms. Read the Proverb of the day. Ask Jesus where He would have you meet Him in His Word. But make it a priority to go to the mountain every single day, and then expect to see Him and expect that blessing. Because the woman of God is blessed by meeting Jesus every single day. You know, we're going to fail. We set our goal to be 7 days. And life happens. And I understand that, and so does Jesus. So if you hit 5 out of 7, that's great. But if you make it your summer goal to only hit 5 days and you miss a couple, then you're down to 3. And guess what? You've missed the mountain more days than you've been to the mountain. So set a high standard. Make it your goal this summer. I'm going to be a woman of the word every single day. I'm going to meet Jesus at that mountain all 7 days. And then extend grace to yourself and accept his grace when you miss a day or two here and there. But always know that when you go to the mountain, there's great blessing that comes. When Matthew 28:17b says they worshiped him, when we truly see Jesus, really the only appropriate response is worship. And so when we see Jesus, when we dig into his word, when our hearts are stirred by what he's teaching us, we respond in worship. You know that beautiful, blessed feeling when you're reading the word and it's a passage that maybe you've studied many times before, but suddenly it takes on new depth and new shades of meaning in light of your current circumstances. And you think, how did I not see that before? That's why it's called the living word of God. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. There's great nuggets of truth to be found here, like nuggets of gold. And we've just got to dig them out and make that time with Jesus a priority. Just like we recognize our friend's voice when she calls us on the phone, that sweet friend, she didn't have to introduce herself. You know your friend. You immediately recognize her right away. And I think that's what happens as we cultivate an intimacy with Jesus. We just recognize his voice. It may not be audible, but just those impressions in our spirit, we know that the Spirit of God is taking the Word of God and doing a work in our hearts and minds that's precious, just a huge blessing. Spending time with Jesus will stir our hearts to immediately recognize his voice. And as you spend time with your Savior, your Lord, Jesus becomes more than just your Savior. It's not just your salvation or your fire insurance. But he becomes your Lord. He becomes the one you want to submit to and to bow to. He moves from being only your Savior to being your Lord, the one that you commune with, that you take your marching orders from, that you check in with on a daily basis. It's a sweet place to live. The woman of God worships God. When we encounter that truth in his word, when he teaches us, then just like the disciples, when they saw him, they worshiped him, that's how we respond. We read that passage. We just worship. Maybe you sing, maybe you pray, maybe you lift your hands, but you worship. So our message, this assignment from our Lord, our going and our telling, should flow from our worship. Before the disciples got to that go and tell, they put themselves in a place to hear from Jesus. They went to the mountain where he told them to go. They saw him and they worshiped him. Do you see all that foundation that's there to get this message? And the disciples had all that foundation during that 3-year ministry of following Jesus here on earth. They had that time of communing with him to prepare them to receive this commandment to go and tell. So Matthew 28:18a says, therefore go. Go. So the question for us, where or to whom is Jesus telling you to go? Because my go most likely is going to be different from your go. And in fact, the Greek word translated go carries the meaning as you go. So just during the course of our lives, as we go, the Lord is going to present various opportunities. He wants the light of Christ to shine at the soccer field. He wants it to shine at the city board meeting. He wants it to shine in the restaurant where you are. As we go, every one of us becomes a point of light to let our light shine for Jesus. Your go may depend upon your age and stage in life. The young mom may just be called to go to the kitchen table and teach her own children the word of God today. The working mom may be called to go to the conference room and start a lunchtime Bible study. And all of us may be called to go to Africa or McPherson or Indonesia for a short-term mission trip. He may send you to the local food bank to work at the Manna Center and pray with the patrons that come in there. He may call you to fill shoeboxes and pray over those shoeboxes that are going to travel to the far reaches of the world to take the light of Christ to little children that wouldn't have anything. He may want you to fight human exploitation. He may want you to be a friend to your neighbor. He may want you to go to the hospital and pray with the family that's going through a rough time. When we follow that prodding of the Holy Spirit, there's great peace and joy and satisfaction that comes with being His woman following His leading. We have to go where He sends, and there's great blessing when we do that. But here's also a word of caution. Don't necessarily expect others to wear what He puts on you. I've seen women become frustrated when others do not immediately share their passion and their calling. Leave room for God to work in the lives of others uniquely and personally. Because what He may be calling her to do is not necessarily what He's calling you to do. So others may join in or they may not. We can rejoice when they do, or we can just rejoice that God's sending them someplace else. But we keep praying and we keep obeying Jesus no matter what. Go where God is sending you and then rejoice in the great blessing of being used by Him. The woman of God receives her assignment as she worships. Our time in the Word, our time communing with the Lord, meeting Him, that's where He stirs our hearts. That we have to stop and be still and quiet before Him to hear that voice and receive His instructions. We can conclude our daily quiet time by saying, Lord, what's my assignment today? Who do you want me to love on? Who needs a phone call, a prayer, a word of encouragement? Lord, I'm walking into Walmart. Is there somebody in here you want me just to go greet or be a blessing to? And He's faithful to give those little opportunities. And then to whom is faithful with little, then there are bigger things that come. We are to worship before we work. We want to just jump right to the go. But looking at that whole passage preceding Matthew 28, 19, and 20, before the go, there's the worship. There's the spending time with Jesus. And so our evangelism, our going and telling, our loving on others, it all flows out of our worship. And as we spend that time with Jesus, I believe that He'll reveal to us what that assignment that He has for us. I want you to consider the fact that you are a letter. That go and tell message means that we are a letter. And the message that we get to deliver is the life-changing, life-giving good news that Jesus loves you. And Jesus died for you. What better news is there? You know, when we look at an envelope, we see the important elements. We see the address, where's it going? We see the message that there's a message tucked inside. Just like we carry the truth in our hearts. You are that envelope. You have that message tucked inside of you about Jesus. And then there's the stamp that makes it go where it's going to go. No matter how neat our handwriting or how pretty the envelope, the U.S. Postal Service requires postage before delivering a letter. And you and I can have the right message and we can have the right recipient, but we must be sent in power. And our spiritual postage that gets our message to its destination is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is His power and not our own that sends us forth. So let's look at the last words of Jesus, more last words, before He ascended into heaven. And we looked at that passage in Acts 1 in our study this week. But Acts 1:8 is another one of those familiar verses, just like Matthew 28, 19, and 20, that you may have memorized. But let's unpack it a little bit and look at this passage. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. These words, again, spoken to the first century believers, but they are for us here in the 21st century as well. So let's unpack it and see what truth God has for us. Right away, you notice the pronoun you three different times in this passage. The repeated use of it, you will receive power. This Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and you will be my witnesses. You know, many of us would find it extraordinary or surprising or even unlikely that God would choose to use us. We might say, oh no, that's for somebody that feels comfortable speaking in front of people. That's not me. Don't ask me to do that. You know? Are you a little bit like Gideon? Judges 6:14 to 15 says this, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? The Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I am the least in my family. I'm the run of the runts, Gideon seems to be saying. You know, my family's least and I'm least in that little family. You know, you can almost picture Gideon, can't you? Sort of pointing himself and saying, me? And kind of looking over his shoulder like, surely there's somebody else here that God is talking to. But you know what, ladies? I believe that God delights in using the runts of the world. The unlikely, the least, the unexpected. Because when He uses the runt, it ensures that all the glory goes to Him. When the Gideons of the world are used, God's the one that gets the credit. Are you responding to God with a "but Lord" objection? God reminded Gideon to go in the strength that he had, the strength that God had given him. And we too can go in the strength that we have been given. And that strength is the Holy Spirit. Our strength is evident from Acts 1:8. You will receive power, it says in this verse. God empowers us for what he calls us to do. He has commanded us to make disciples, and he empowers us with the Holy Spirit to complete the work that he calls us to do in this world. It might be a little bitty thing. It might not be traveling halfway around the world. It might be to go and love on someone that needs loved on. It might be to do that, to practice being a Christian by returning love for someone that hates you, to bless someone that has cursed you, to forgive someone that has hurt you. Do you ever consider that maybe God has allowed people in your life to offend you, to grow you up, and to let you practice what it means to be a woman of God? And when we walk in that opposite spirit, we release the love of Christ, and it gets people's attention, just like that little missionary in India. The Greek word that's translated power in this verse is dunamis. Not sure I pronounce it correctly. But this is also the Greek word for the word, for the English word dynamite. The Holy Spirit then is our spiritual dynamite. He's our power. It is God's gift to you. And it says in verse 5, if we backed up, that we have been baptized with the Spirit, according to Acts 1:5. The baptism of the Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out and empowers us to go and tell. Maybe this summer you'd like to read through the book of Acts and just note the difference in the lives of the disciples before and after having the Holy Spirit in their lives. Look at Peter, who was running away and cowering and denying Jesus, and then look at Peter boldly preaching the gospel, having thousands come to know Jesus. The woman of God is empowered by the Holy Spirit. He is our spiritual dynamite. He is the one who will enable us to go and tell. We don't go in our own strength. We don't have any. We're just like Gideon. We're the run of the runts. And if you feel like you are incapable, inadequate, unlikely, well, good. Good. Because the second that you feel like you are God's woman and surely God has chosen you, probably means you need to go pray a little bit more and get yourself humbled. The fact that you feel like you can't do it is a sign that you know that he can, and you need to rely upon him and go in his strength for the call that he has on your life. Acts 1:8 goes on to say that you will be my witnesses. As followers of Christ who are filled with the Spirit, that's our assignment, to be his witnesses, to speak up for him. You know, many of us are comfortable with that whole lifestyle witnessing idea, letting our upright lives and our good deeds speak for themselves. But the actual speaking out loud, the actual going and telling about Jesus, it's sometimes just a little bit daunting, overwhelming, uncomfortable, or downright scary for many of us. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own. God doesn't expect us to do it on our own. We have an assignment from Jesus to go and tell. This is a commandment from our Lord. He empowers us with the Spirit of God to complete the assignment from God. So what is it that keeps us from completing our assignment? How do we move from being a mere envelope lying on the table to becoming mail? Let's mix in yet another metaphor as we look at Isaiah 28:24. When a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Does he keep on breaking up and harrowing the soil? Our acts of kindness to others are a means of breaking up the hard soil of an unbeliever's heart. And as we love on others by extending acts of kindness, we plow up the soil of a sometimes hard heart. But at some point, enough plowing already. We have to sow the seed. There can be no harvest if there is no plant. And there is no plant unless the seed is sown. And the seed, ladies, is the gospel. The seed is the word of God. Our spiritual dynamite, the Holy Spirit, gives the power to plant, and he brings forth the germination and the new life. Friend, full-time mission work. I have a friend that was engaged in full-time mission work for many years. But she shared a story in a newsletter that we've gotten my friend, this friend has sent her, we've gotten her newsletter for many years. And she had this story in a newsletter all the way back that she remembered from her high school years. And my friend Cindy had a friend named Sue. And Sue was one of those popular girls, the sweet girl that everybody wanted to be friends with. And Cindy and Sue were friends. But Cindy just felt a little awkward or uncomfortable about talking to Sue about Jesus. It just seemed weird. And you know, Sue's the popular girl, and Sue wasn't raised in a Christian family. And so Cindy just sort of kept her Christian beliefs undercover. She just didn't want to preach to Sue. She didn't know how to do that, but she just had never gotten up the courage to share her faith with her friend Sue. So, but during a sleepover late one night, Cindy just felt overwhelmed as a high school teenager that God wanted her to share the gospel with her friend Sue. And so she said, "I ended up my discourse with just the harsh truth and reality that those who don't place their trust in Christ before they die will end up in hell." She just told it out plain, just like that. And then Cindy went on to share that what Sue said next convicted me deeply and also impacted my call to full-time ministry. Cindy says that here's what Sue's response. She breathed out slowly. She looked at me with tears in her eyes, and she said, "Cindy, if you really believe this, why haven't you ever told me before? Don't you care about me? Don't you care about me?" You know, is there a friend in your life that you're holding out on? You know, if we had the cure for cancer, if there was some tree in our backyard that grew a fruit that miraculously cured cancer, would we be so selfish that we would not share that with someone else? If we woke up in the middle of the night and there was a light outside the window and we opened the shades and we saw flames coming out our neighbor's roof, would we not call and say, or go pound on the door, "Your house is on fire"? Would we say to ourselves, "Oh, I'd be so embarrassed for them to think that I had noticed their house or paid any attention," or, "Well, I don't want to wake them up, or I don't want to bother them"? Of course not. That's craziness. You're gonna run and pound on the door and tell them the news. Get out. Your house is on fire. We wouldn't be ashamed or embarrassed to tell people that news. But in the big scheme of eternity, the house is on fire. We need to get the message out. We need to be on task to go and tell. And if we really and truly care, just like Cindy cared for her friend Sue, shouldn't we go and tell? The woman of God is a verbal witness for God. Those acts of kindness just sort of soften the ground. They just sort of plow up the soil. They open up hearts, but they're not an end to themselves. We're not just to be a bunch of social do-gooders. That's not an end in itself. The woman of God presses on and shares the verbal witness, shares the truth about Jesus Christ. There's a time to plow, but there's also a time to plant. To whom does God want you to go and tell? I hope that the Holy Spirit is stirring in your heart and mind right now, and you're already having the wheels turn, and he's giving you a name. You're starting to see that name come before you, and you're getting that assignment, and you're knowing what he has for you. I think we all need to ask ourselves, so what is it that keeps me from going and telling? Many of us would agree that clearly Jesus has instructed us to go and tell, but why is it that we don't? Christian comedian Ken Davis tells the following story about waiting for a sign from God. A Christian gets on an empty city bus, walks to the rear, and sits down. "Lord," he prays, "if you want me to speak to someone about you, please give me a sign." At the next stop, another passenger boards the bus, goes all the way to the back, sits down right next to the Christian, and the passenger looks at him and says, "Do you know anything about Jesus?" The Christian excuses himself for a moment, slowly bows his head, and once again prays, "Lord, if you really want me to talk to this stranger, I need just one more sign. Please turn the bus driver into an armadillo." Have you been praying for an armadillo? Have you been waiting for a sign from God that you really hope never comes before you get serious about obeying him to go and tell? What keeps you and me from going and telling? Inadequacy or lack of confidence like Gideon? It's the Holy Spirit that does the work. You don't need confidence in yourself. How about failing to worship? If we're not worshiping, we're not placing ourselves in a position to hear our assignment, much less complete it. Are you keeping your daily appointment with Jesus? Are you meeting him in his word and worshiping him when you encounter him there? If I share without first worshiping and being spirit-led, I might be going on my own strength. It might be a legalistic act of the flesh with the goal of making me feel good by checking something off my list and doing a do-good act just so I can feel good. But if I worship and I'm spirit-led and I go in His strength, then I go for His glory. The post office has come up with these cool new stamps that we call forever stamps. No more running out to buy 2 and 3 cent stamps to add to the stamp I already have when the price of postage goes up. But as much as we love the word forever, for the follower of Jesus, there's a word that even trumps forever. It's called eternal. The message of love, when we go and tell, brings glory for eternity. The message we bring is one of eternal life, and that's only possible with Jesus Christ. So a woman of God is a woman who worships. A woman of God is a woman of the Word. A woman of God is filled with the Spirit. And then a woman of God goes all the way through to complete her assignment because the woman of God goes and she tells. Are you worshiping God? Are you meeting Him in His Word? Are you asking for the Holy Spirit to fill and equip you for the task He's called you to do? And are you going and telling? Are you living intentional, deliberately fulfilling the assignment that God has for you? Well, what is it that changes an envelope from being just an envelope to being mail? Both have an address, have a message tucked inside, the postage added, but it's not mail until it is sent. It has to be released, has to be dropped into that box. And that's our challenge as we go out. We are letters with an important message. We are all envelopes. And if we love Jesus, His message is hidden in our hearts. But we become mail when we release ourselves to go and tell, to share the message of the good news about Jesus Christ. To whom is God sending you with the command to go and tell? As we close in prayer, I want to adapt Paul's words in Ephesians 1 as I pray for all of us. Ladies, pray with me. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, glorious Father, may You give the spirit of wisdom and revelation to each of us so that we may know You better. I pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which You have called us, the riches of Your glorious inheritance in the saints, and Your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of Your mighty strength, which You exerted in Christ when You raised Him from the dead and seated Him at Your right hand in the heavenly realms. God, I just pray that this summer that You would just call each of us to make that time to meet with You daily a priority. God, stir up our hearts to worship You, to feast on Your word, and then to receive, to ask for and to receive that daily assignment to go and tell. God, give each of us a name, someone specific to pray for, to love on. Father, let us be intentional about looking for that opportunity to share the good news. Give us those times to do those kind acts of service, to till up the ground. But God, give us the courage and the boldness to go forth and to plant the seed, an opportunity to go and tell. We pray the power of Your Holy Spirit, our spiritual dynamite, would enable us to be faithful, to walk through the doors that You open. God, we want to be faithful women of God. We want to be mail that is sent, mail that is released, going forth with that message of the hope that we have for eternity because of Jesus Christ. Jesus, You are the best news of all. How could we not share it? We go to honor You. We go in obedience to You. We go for the joy of making You known. And we do it all in the sweet name, Your name, Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm.